Does this make some sense?
Now, when people talk about walking out of their marriage or divorce, it's because we don't have the conviction that Adam had. That's not to say that we don't acknowledge that there are challenges in the marriage, that we don't go to seek counsel, that we don't go for deliverance, that we don't avail ourselves of everything. But there was a certain conviction in Adam that mankind needs today, that this is my future. Might be challenging, but this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Does this make some sense? Amen. Now, in looking at that process as well, this is just background, incidentally. In looking at that process as well, you can begin to see how man is shaped in a sense in a different way from a woman. Without the woman being there, the man is put in a garden and is given a task. And you can imagine the man's joy at the achievement of the task. He's told, name these animals. And so the man goes ahead and says, this animal with a tall neck is a giraffe. And then the Bible doesn't say it, but you can imagine God commending him. That would be God's nature. Does this make some sense? And so the man instantly is put in a setting where achievements matter. And he literally defines himself by his achievements. Because that's the first thing he knows. And he goes about life defining himself by these achievements. Do you know it's the same today? That's why when we meet each other, we try to suss each other out according to those achievements. Doesn't matter what the achievements are. Could be building a missionary home in Kathmandu, running a business, you know, being in school. You know, it doesn't matter. But when guys meet themselves, that's how we assess each other. Isn't that true, guys? Yeah. That's why when guys meet themselves, the first thing they're going to talk about is, what do you do? Isn't that true? Yeah. What do you do? Because we're trying to figure out, you know, where can I place this guy? Because, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not carnal. It's just how we've been wired. Amen? Now, it's also instructive that for a period of time, we don't know whether it was 1 week, 1,000 years, or whatever how many years, but for a period of time, Adam was naming animals on his own. It follows that conversation could not have been Adam's strong point. Does this make some sense? He couldn't talk to the lions. So the only person he spoke to was God. And the because of the perfect interplay between man and God then, he didn't have to speak to God. For it was just downloaded into his heart and downloaded back to God. The, you know, man and God were in perfect harmony then. And so this man is going around not talking to anybody. And then one day he falls asleep. And next thing he wakes up. And there's this other person who the first thing that she was introduced into was a relationship. And so her own life is defined by relationships. A woman is happiest. Guys, listen. A woman is happiest when her relationships are going well. Her relationship with her husband, her relationship with her pastor, her relationship with her boss, her relationship with her children, her relationship with her in-laws. Her whole life is defined by these relationships. And when they're going well, you've got a happy woman. And it's understandable because the first thing that she was introduced, I mean, you know, she was made and then she was ushered by God into this relationship. And it's almost like God said, go ahead into this relationship and step back. And she wakes up to another human being and she starts to communicate with the human being. So it's no wonder that it is easier for most women to communicate than men. Does this make some sense? And when women come together, aren't you amazed, guys, as to how this, the level of communication after only 5 minutes, they're already asking each other about their children and they're touching themselves. And, you know, a guy's thinking, where did you know her from? But that is how she was designed naturally by God. Does this make some sense? Amen. And so when you understand these things, it can you can already begin to see how it can help your marriage. So a man is traumatized when he feels a failure in relation to tasks. And a woman is traumatized when she feels a failure in her relationships. And so if you took most of the suicide notes that are left by men and women, they would go along these lines. The woman would kill herself because the lover dropped her. The man would kill himself, see himself because he's going bankrupt. Isn't that the case? Yeah. And once we understand this, then it makes it easier to deal with each other. Because it makes it easier to understand what is priority for a woman and what is priority for a man. Amen? Praise God. And then after Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And then God now, the Bible now gives five things that we say are absolutely foundational to a successful marriage. It says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Amen. Five things. First thing, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." That whole process of leaving. Now, your question might be then, why doesn't the Bible say a woman leaves? Because it's absolutely unnecessary. Because the woman is given away anyway. So the process of giving is the process of leaving. But it's the man who because the woman is given to him, the Bible emphasizes that the man must understand that there's a leaving. And what is this speaking about? It's just speaking about the formation of a new unit, a new relationship. And this must be clearly defined. You know, and in a lot of the cultures of African culture and the cultures from the Caribbean, this is absolutely important because of the strong family networks. So it must be clear that there is a leaving, there is a cutting of ties, there's a realignment, there's the forming of a new unit that takes primacy over every other unit. You know, yes, you love your mother, but your mother is not your wife. Yeah, yes, you're from a close lineage family, but something has changed, and it must be clear that something has changed. You know, some of the challenges that marriages face is where this hasn't taken place properly. And so there's so much influence. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's just an aberration for a man to want to tell his brother something before his wife. That is the sign there's something wrong. Because the way God made it, if this thing is working, that unit is the tightest unit imaginable. And so there must be that clear process of living. And some people 10, 15, 20 years after have to go back and leave because they never left. Amen. There must be a total reordering of things. It must be clear to everybody that there's been a reordering of things. And it takes wisdom to do this. You know, it must be done strategically and clearly. Because sometimes you have to send signals to loved ones that things have changed. Yeah? And there's wisdom in doing that. You know, when I got married, I knew I had to reorder this thing. I come from a very closely knit family, and it's a blessing. But we knew, we each one of us, when Baj and Chizo got married, they knew the same thing. I mean, can you imagine having me as a brother-in-law? You know, so Baj knew that I better make it clear that, you know, you're my pastor, you're my brother-in-law, but this is my home. And I knew when he sent the signals to me, so I just backed up. And if he hadn't done that, you know, the way I am, I would have tried to run their home with good intentions. There are no bad intentions. But then I would have messed up the whole thing. In the same way that our loved ones can mess it up for us if we don't make it clear that we love you, but something has changed. And you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to say to them, it was just me, but now there are two of us who are one relating to you. And we must send that message. We must send that message. And that message must be clear. We must send that message. You know, when I got married, there were a couple of things. My mother is very, very strong-willed, and she loves me. I'm her first son. My siblings think she's partial to me. She probably is. But, you know, but I knew I had to send a message to her. Because a few weeks after I was married, she was asking me, you know, about whether, you know, I was eating right. And I was thinking, why are you asking me all those questions? And so I had to send a clear message to her that things have changed. If I'm not eating right, it's okay. It's my decision. This is who I chose to marry. We'll cope. Does this make some sense? Yeah. Little things like I would give her gifts, but I now started channeling the gifts through Ify, because I wanted her to know that you can't come behind to try and get anything from your son. No. It's from both of us from now on. And it must be thought out and strategic. If not, you are going to create problems for yourself. For the Bible is clear that there must be a leaving. There must be a leaving, you know, a whole new unit. Does this make some sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the Bible goes on to talk about, after the leaving, talks about a cleaving, you know, a joining together, a coming together of, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, you cancel some couples, and it's just a problem. There's a certain language, or there are certain languages that are the forebearers of challenges. My money. You know, a couple said to me, Pastor, we share the bills. He pays the gas bill. I pay the electricity bill. He pays the school fees. Now, you might not realize that there's a problem, but there's a problem. Because what you're saying is that we haven't come together as one yet. We are two independent people who have signed a contract to live together in our independence. And the Bible speaks about a cleaving. It's a very strong word in the original Hebrew, but that the English language doesn't do justice to. So when the writers, when they translated the Bible, the strongest word they could find to describe the original Hebrew word was cleaving. But that doesn't do justice to it. Because what the original Hebrew word describes is a meshing together. You know, so much so that to now separate is impossible. And that's what God meant that's what God intended in marriage. That by the time we have put you together, to separate you will be impossible. Amen? And isn't it instructive how after a while, couples start to look like each other? Now that is fascinating. Two people married and never, they when they married, they didn't look like each other. But the power of the spiritual is so strong that it affects the physical. And after a while, couples start talking like each other. You know, one starts a sentence, the other one can finish it. Amen? And you know, there's a You know, when you put, you know, there's some chemical components that can mix. You know that, yeah. Those of you who are scientists, you know that. So if you try to mix oil and water, what happens? Yeah, the oil just floats to the surface and the water stays. No matter how much you shake the container. Now apparently they tell us that why that is the case is that the inherent nature of oil and water is that their components don't dissociate, yeah, which means they don't break down to accommodate. Does this make some sense? For a marriage to be successful, there must be a breaking down to accommodate. Yeah? Everybody must be willing to change, to break down. So you can't say, this is how it has always been. Please, if you're coming in, this is how it should be. That marriage is not going to work. You're going to have challenges. Does this make some sense? You know, I always go to bed at 8 p.m. Please, even if we are married, I'm going to bed at 8 p.m. The person doesn't want to dissociate. These are my friends. They've always been my friends. Why are you so... Why can't you understand that? They're my ex-girlfriends, but they're my friends. No. If it is affecting the marriage, then there's need for someone to dissociate. Does this make some sense? And so what we say is that you have to be prepared to rearrange, to dissociate, and to disintegrate in certain parts for the good of the marriage. Amen? To allow that cleaving. Because there are some things that are stopping both chemicals from mixing with each other. And whatever those things are, you've got to take them out so that there can be a proper merging, a cleaving together. Amen? So sometimes you've got to change your lifestyle, you've got to change your schedules, you've got to change your habits, you've got to change your way of thinking, you've got to change your pattern of decision making, you sometimes have to change your friends for the success of your marriage. Amen? And then he goes on to say that there's the living, and then there's the cleaving, and then there's the one flesh relationship, and we'll talk about that in the next session, because that just speaks about sexual intimacy. You know, the one flesh relationship speaks about sexual intimacy. And then he goes on to talk about and they were both naked, you know, and that speaks about being vulnerable. The most successful relationships, believe me, are relationships where both parties can be vulnerable with each other. It's not an easy journey. We can make it harder or easier for ourselves. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. Unfortunately, because we don't understand the difficulty of the journey of vulnerability, by our actions, we set the process back. Where someone takes a tentative step to be vulnerable and another slams that person. What we don't realize is that we've set back that process years, because it takes a lot for any human being to drop their natural self-preservative instincts for a person. In fact, in life, most people don't do it for more than one or two people. Most people, one person, and majority of the people don't do it for anybody apart from God. And even most of us don't even do it with God. But that nakedness is critical to any relationship. You know, that there must be someone with whom I am not afraid to share my fears, guys. You know, most guys, their wives don't even know that they have fears. because there's an image that they feel they must protect, and they are not safe in being vulnerable. And most women, because women are more emotional, they come in wanting to be vulnerable and it's easier for them. But after they've been bruised a few times, they change and become hardened. And so you have a relationship where there is no nakedness. It's very superficial. You know, and when you find those kind of relationships, communication is always on a superficial level. Never really touches feelings, emotions, and opinions. It's just very superficial. But the strength of a marriage is really closely related to the depth of vulnerability. That, you know, I mean, think about it. It's madness to imagine one part of your body hiding something from another part of your body. But isn't that what people do in a marriage? God says this thing is a one thing, you're one. But then part of one is trying to hide something from the other. Particularly in the area of emotions and feelings. You know, and these things I'm sharing with you, I'm sharing them with you after years. Because like most men, my natural inclination was to see vulnerability as a weakness. Isn't this true? Yeah, as a weakness. But with years, I've come to realize the strength of vulnerability for the relationship. Amen? And then it goes on, he says they were naked. That's vulnerable, open to each other. And then he says, and they were not ashamed. You know, there was, you know, you accept me, make it safe for me to be naked, and then accept me. You know, don't throw it back at me. You know, in I don't know if we get time to do conflicts, but you know, it's in conflicts that a lot of vulnerability is destroyed. Things that in a moment of vulnerability were shared, when it is time for war, everything is used. You know, there's an analogy we have, we call mutual assured destruction. You know, during the Cold War, and doesn't it look like we're coming back to the Cold War again? Life is unbelievable. Who would have thought? During the Cold War, the main protagonist, America and Russia, they never went to battle against each other. Isn't that amazing? I mean, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, they came close, and that was the closest, but they never went to war against each other. And why didn't they go to war against each other? Because there was a deterrent factor. You know, the Americans knew that if you launch a missile against us, we're going to launch one back against you. And they knew that, you know, the whole mutual assured destruction, you know, if we fight each other, we're going to blow ourselves up. Nobody's going to win. You know, that's how a marriage should be. You know, the couple should know that it is in our interest not to fight, because if we fight, we will kill each other. You know, if you think you have intercontinental ballistic missiles, I will show you what exocet missiles are. And unfortunately, a lot of those missiles are things that come out of a moment of vulnerability. But the sad thing is that in that war, because people don't realize that you can lose a battle and win a war, they are determined to win that battle. And in war, they say all's fair in war. Just at the end of the war, somebody's got to pick up the pieces. Amen? And that's why we encourage couples to be careful about what you say. You know, the Bible says bitter water and sweet water can't come out of the same well. So you can't call me an idiot and then at night tell me you love me. You know, you can't. There's certain things that come out of your mouth that contradict whatever you say. And you know, there's a in the in the Yoruba culture, Yoruba tribe in West Africa, in the Yoruba culture, there's a proverb that says that words are like eggs. You know, the moment an egg breaks, despite your best intentions, you can't put it back together again. Does this make some sense? And so we also have to be careful. Have to be careful.
You are listening to a message from Tight Knots. Tight Knots is the marriage ministry at Jesus House, and our vision is to see couples build Christ-centered marriages that will last a lifetime, be a light to the world, and leave a legacy to future generations. Thank you for listening. Please visit our website at www.tightknots.org for more information.